Quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like, I feel like
self-desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, and we are again delighted to be joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, how's it going?
Thrilled. I'm thrilled to be with you.
I think you have the best walk-up song of all of our guests.
Definitely.
Thanks to you, Molly.
I think it was thanks to you, because you're the one that brought it. You brought it to SNL, though. So, thank you.
Jason Sudeikis probably gets all the credit, but next in line is you for saying, what's up with that, when you were asking a question, which has now been, I think it's been removed from the walk-up music, so now it's just, nobody knows that that was the genesis of it, but you're the GOAT. There's
Thank
no
you.
Doubt about it. I'm doing the dance right now in the passenger seat on our way to UW Stevens Point for a track meet.
Nice. We are asking the question. I'm curious where you kind of land on this. Who do you think is the most successful athlete in Wisconsin sports? And our options are Favre, Rodgers, Giannis, or other, you can say.
Hmm. I've got a few others, right? I mean, first of all, we've got a couple of players in Brewers history that are baseball Hall of Famers, right? In Robin Yount and Paul Molitor. I know that's a little bit old school for folks, right? But their time still counts, as does, you know, the history of, obviously, the Packers. If you think back to the 60s teams and, you know, Bart Starr won more championships than either of those two quarterbacks you've got on the list there, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it all depends on, do you do it by eras, you know, like the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, or do you do it by just all time? Because, you know, for another example, you know, the Packers have had a lot of great receivers during my time covering the team, which I would say is a modern era, right? But, you know, it was before I started covering the team. But the last time I think Don Hutson talked to, like, the media in a Packers setting was, like, 1994 or 95. I think he passed away not that long after that, if I remember correctly. So I never got to talk to him. But here's a guy who caught 99 touchdown passes and obviously played in an even earlier Packers era in which he won championships and was a great player. And so I don't know if we're going to say modern era, you know, the problem with Favre, Rodgers, and Giannis is that they all have one title,
mm-hmm.
which is certainly more than Robin Yount has with the Brewers, or I think Paul Molitor won one with the Toronto Blue Jays. But if we're defining it based on team success, you know, it's not a great race for anybody because there's not a lot of multi-championship teams. Like, if anybody, you know, maybe Mark Johnson needs to be in this conversation instead. He obviously was crucial to the Miracle on Ice team.
Yep.
He's now coached 8 national championships for Badger women's hockey. So, depends if you're willing to think outside the box, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess if you had to choose between the big three, Favre, Rodgers, and Giannis, where would you vote?
Well, I thought I fairly effectively circumvented the idea of voting for any of them.
Well,
nope. I would just keep scrolling past your poll.
Get out of town.
Savage. No, so just the background of this, obviously with Giannis breaking the record in the NBA last night with his 35 points, 20 assists, and 17 rebounds, like, it just got us thinking, like, is his legacy in the state of Wisconsin going to be similar to how people perceive Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, that they only have one title between, I mean, each of them only have one title in their nearly 30 years that we had them as quarterbacks here, you know?
Yeah, and obviously you're right, and that's an age-old question, right? Because there's part of you that wants to say you have these two generational talents, and Giannis obviously is one of those two. And if you only, and I'm doing air quotes as we're driving here, only have one title, that does feel to some degree disappointing, right? I get it. At the same time, You know, the Detroit Lions only have zero Super Bowl championships. The Milwaukee Brewers only have zero World Series championships. In fact, I think the Brewers, their predecessor, the Braves, and the Lions in the pre-Super Bowl era, I think both their last championships were 1957, which not even I'm that old for that, right? So, you know, I understand that, but on the flip side of it, I think it's important to remember that, you know, yeah, you'd like to have even more championships than you have to show for these three great players, but it's really hard. And there's been other great players who have played for other teams, and they didn't win any titles at all, right? I mean, I always think of Dan Marino because, A, he's fantastic in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and those Isotoner glove commercials. But he's one of the greatest of all time, and he got to the Super Bowl, what, in his second year? They lost to Joe Montana, and he never really even got close again. So, you know, team success is such a critical part on how we view people. I mean, think about Mike McCarthy as a coach. If that 2014 team goes to the Super Bowl and wins it, or think of Mike Holmgren as a coach. They went to back-to-back Super Bowls. If they don't lose to the 12.5-point underdog to Denver Broncos, Mike Holmgren walks into camp. And instead, he didn't get the 80% of the vote he needed in February, and he didn't make it, which I think is a travesty because he's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. So it's just such a sticky situation to try and, you know, use the phrase of only one championship. But I understand why it gets used, especially as much as it does in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Bucks fans had to wait 50 years in between titles. So, and the first one was before I was born, too.
Right. So, okay, your answer just got me thinking. As a reporter for the Packers.
That's what I'm here for.
As a reporter, what has been your favorite era of Packers football to cover?
Oh, boy. That's a really good question. This will be year 30, so it's a nice even number. You know, I feel like I didn't really know what I was doing the first couple of years. My first year was the year that they won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and I was just so happy to be 24 years old and doing such a cool job. And I was talking to our friend Dennis Semerhout today on the phone. He gave me a call, and he was joking about how I used to cover the Packers during the week, and then he would see me covering a high school game on Tuesday night, which was the Packers' day off, so I'd be back in Madison. And it made me laugh because I always loved that part of my job. Like, I don't have enough bandwidth to be helping out on Prep Mania as much as I maybe might have when I was younger. But, like, that era was super fun, but I didn't really know what the heck I was doing. I think when Rodgers was at his greatest powers, you know, 09, 10, 11 probably is it. But, again, the challenging part of that question is I've covered, and it didn't hurt me as much as Packers fans, but I still have people when I bring up 4th and 26 or the season. I'm like, wait a minute. 4th and 26 was 22 years ago. Tausch has been retired now longer than he was in the league. You know, the loss in Seattle, gut-wrenching though it may have been, like, they have had other chances since. They didn't get it done in those games either. So I feel like it's almost as if it's hard to pick the era for that question because there's so much disappointment for the team mixed into it.
Jason, we've got kind of an idea for later in this show, and I just thought I'd pick your brain on it early. Prioritizing the Packers' positions in this draft. And I want to know from you, other than quarterback, what would be the most surprising pick they could, like, position group they could pick with their first round pick in the draft?
So you did not listen to our show this morning, right? You got other stuff going on.
I didn't.
Okay, good. Because the next answer, because we somehow fell onto the exact same topic, and I know that our topics aren't good enough to steal. So the fact that you're asking this question and the fact that I answered running back when Tausch asked it, and then he said, are you telling me that if who's the kid out of Boise State? Jenty?
Jenty.
Jenty? Jenty?
Genty, yeah.
You tell me if he falls to 23, the Packers shouldn't draft him? And I said, well, no, they should, right? Because he's not going to fall to 23.
No.
A meteor is more likely to hit the draft area in Green Bay, which I hope doesn't happen because I got a lot of things I still want to accomplish. But he's special, right? They feel really good. So I would be shocked if they drafted a running back. They really, they like Emmanuel Wilson, and they think that Marshawn Lloyd, who obviously missed so much of the season, I think he played one game, they think he's a really different type of running back. So if they went quarterback or running back, those are the two that would shock me. Beyond that, I think, and maybe this is the point you guys are planning on driving at later in the show, I don't think anything else would shock me. They need pass rush help. They need cornerback help. Maybe safety. Obviously, they've got not only X, but they've got those three guys they drafted last year, and Zane Anderson, who's a good player. So maybe safety would be the next one on my list of things that would surprise me. But pretty much everything else should be on the table.
I will say, Jason, Matt Hamilton might not be listening to your show enough to steal ideas from it, but I was, which is where we might have gotten the topic idea from. But you say there's no position that would be surprising at all. Like, would you not be surprised if they drafted an inside linebacker at this point in the first round? I mean, just given what the commitment they seem to have to Quay Walker and then Adrian Cooper, who obviously is going to be a star in the making. Like, you don't feel like that would be not a waste of a pick, but an overreach even by Goody standards?
Well, if let's put it this way. Let's wait and see what happens in the draft, and if they were to draft an inside linebacker, they do say that all three of those guys are interchangeable. I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I think that's for dumb people like me, it makes it easier to understand. But, like, it would tell you that they're not going to give a week later, they're probably not giving Quay Walker the fifth-year option, right? And then he would be in a free agent year, and he'd be in the same group as all these other guys that they've allowed to walk. And they'd be saying, well, we think Edger and Cooper is the real deal, and now we drafted this guy, and we're going to let, Quay Walker play out the fourth year of his contract, then he's going to be a free agent. I don't think that's likely, to your point, Wooly, but, that I still would put that as less surprising as quarterback, running back, safety. I would probably rank it fourth. But, again, you got to remember that the draft is not just for who's going to help them now. You got to look at the bigger picture. That's why if they drafted an offensive lineman, I wouldn't be shocked at all, right? Like, right now, if we're being honest, they have an overabundance of potential starters. That's why Rashid Walker is going to have to defend his starting job that he's held for the last 32 games. Basically, right? He had that one game where he didn't start because they gave Yash Nyman a try in 2023. Mm-hmm. But he's basically, since Bakhtiari went down, he's basically been the starter, and yet he's still going to be challenged by last year's first-round pick now, who they could have easily had challenge, Sean Ryan for the right guard job instead. But in theory, based on what they have Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Elton Jenkins, Aaron Banks, Rashid Walker, and Jordan Morgan, all as potential starting players. So they've got six. So if they were to draft another offensive lineman, should we be surprised? Well, yes and no, because Walker, Tom, and Ryan are all going into the final years of their deals. Mm-hmm. So it would actually make sense if they drafted an offensive lineman saying, okay, we're going to let some or all of these guys, I don't think they're going to let Zach Tom go, but we're going to let all these guys walk next year. We'll have a totally different offensive line. So I think it's important to remember that it's not just for this year. It's for down the road. And I know you guys know that, but I think we all sometimes get caught up in, well, who do they get that's going to have an impact right away? Because the draft has become more about that than it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, getting Jordan Love, prime example. We're looking down the road. We're not trying to win next year. We're looking down the road. Hated that pick.
Right, because T. Higgins is the pick there, right? Patrick Queen, was it, that was also on the board then?
Yeah, like hindsight, obviously, is 20/20. I didn't know anything about T. Higgins back then. Like, I don't know who the right pick was. I just knew it wasn't Jordan Love if you wanted to win the next season.
No, you're right, and yet I would argue on the flip side that it was exactly the right pick, though. If he the if is important here, because mm-hmm. I do think we prematurely crowned him. If he's as good as we think he's capable of being.
Right, yeah, like jury's still out on whether that was an A-plus pick, a C, or an absolute F, so trending towards
I don't think it'll be an F.
Don't think it's an F yet.
Might turn out to be a B-plus or B-minus.
Yeah.
And they never win a title with him, but they have a decent quarterback.
That is true.
Thanks, Jason. Enjoy the track meet, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Go Pointers.
All right, everybody. well, they're not participating. Go Jaguars.
Go Jaguars.
Let's go.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm so excited to get started on my journey at Carbon World Health. With their brand new location located in the Prairie Lake Shopping Center, their state-of-the-art facility will feature Carbon's innovative services, including Botox, Hydrofacials, M-Sculpt, IV therapies, and so much more. I'm actually going there next week, guys. Stay tuned to see if I can get some glowy skin.
Hydrofacial.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I need to get... We were talking about how much water we both drink and stuff. My face is dry. I need all of the work on my face. I'm not going to lie. I won't be getting any Botox anytime soon, but I need work on my face, okay?
All right, we'll need a before and after photo.
Yes, for sure. Stop in today to get started on your health and beauty journey and tell them that Molly from Jim, Matt, and Molly sent you. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.